Fair enough question. But that's what we've been doing. We've been connecting and bringing Canadians and the Canadian church into partnership with locally led ministries. Three areas that are very important to us. Local leadership around the globe. We in the West have been blessed. God has given us much vision and passion and resource for ministry. But guess what? He's alive and well around the world too, isn't he? And there's much vision, there's much passion, sometimes less resource. But what they lack in resource, they make up for in vision and passion. And this couple certainly has that. We often go to the most difficult places, places that are off the beaten path, remote, disconnected, forgotten people. That's what we like to partner with and our nationals do. And we have a holistic approach in what we do. We don't simply bring the Bible, but we bring the word and deed. Always preach, and if necessary, use words, right? It's through our lives that we do this as well. Three areas that we focus in are building the church, empowering women and children, and transforming communities. And even as we prayed this morning, we have partners in Bangladesh and India that have been hitting, the cyclone has been hitting there too. So we want to remember them in prayer as we are here today. In the past year, you can see we've been in 34 countries. So this model of partnership and coming alongside our brothers and sisters around the world is not only a good idea, but it's actually very effective, and it works. And the impact and the fruit of ministry is very powerful. And today, just so you know, you guys are in store for a very rare treat. It's not every day you get to hear somebody from Brazil. Or is it? But this young couple is ready, willing. They're from Brazil to serve the Lord. This is Diogo and Juliana. And they are missionaries born in Brazil and have an interesting story that they're going to tell you a little bit about. But they actually studied here in Canada, in Manitoba, for the last 2.5 years. Just graduated and on their way back to the mission field. And I'm not going to give away too much of their story. But you know what? It's their first time ever in Markham. Ever. So we need to give them a big round of applause like you can.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here. We're very excited. It's very exciting to meet fellow Brazilians as well. And we tend to get really loud around each other, so I apologize in advance. But thank you for having us. Diogo is going to share a little bit with you guys this morning. But before he does, I want to just give a little bit of our background. And we'll take you a little trip to the Amazon today. So first of all, welcome to the jungle. This is the place we're going to be very, very soon. So as you already know, my name is Juliana. I was born in Brazil, and I'm a missionary kid. My parents were missionaries, not in the Amazon, in a different forest in the south of Brazil. And I grew up in a very little fishing village. I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old, and I learned to love missions since I was very young. Actually, the first gift, spiritual gift that showed up in me was the gift of caring for people and encouraging people. And I tried to develop that gift along the years. And something very similar happened to my husband, Diogo. He also grew up in a church, not in a missionary family, but he goes to church since he was in his mother's belly. And he accepted Christ when he was 12, right? And the first gift that showed up in him was the gift of teaching the Word of God. That's also that's something that he loves doing and always loved doing. And we both met in a camp. We started working in a camp when we were teenagers. So camp ministry is great. You should be involved. I love that you are involved with that, and you should invest in it because we love camp ministry. And while we were there in camp, we both understood that God wanted us full-time in ministry. We were not dating yet because we were friends for a long time before we actually noticed each other in a different way. And then eventually we dated, we got married. And at first we worked in a church in São Paulo. And São Paulo is a huge city. It's one of the biggest in the world. And Diogo was working as a youth pastor with two other, we had two other pastors in the church. But eventually we were not in peace with that. So we started praying because we thought that we were in a place with so much while other places of our country had so little. And we started praying that God would send us to one of those places. And he did. He called us to work in the Amazon. But before that, interestingly enough, he called us here. So we got a scholarship. We both got a scholarship in Canada. And we have been here for the last 2 years and a half studying at Providence Seminary in Manitoba. So we experienced the best of Canada, right? We got minus 50 there. It was amazing. And now that we graduated, we are preparing ourselves to go back. So in Brazil, we work with EMAF, Evangelical Mission for Assistance to Fishermen. And here in Canada, we are in partnership with Partners International. And for those of you who are not familiarized, Brazil is down there in South America. You can see there in the map. And Brazil has a huge coastline, 8,000 kilometers of coastline. And that's where our organization started working in 1984. And there in the south, where you can see the little black dot. They were just two missionary couples. One of the guys was Canadian, the other was Brazilian. Those people right there were one of the couples, and they are actually my parents. So they started working here, and eventually they planted bases all over the coast of Brazil. And after the whole coast was built, by the way, working with people, unreached group, like people who had never heard the gospel before. And after we reached the coast, we entered the rivers in the Amazon. And we found out some time ago that we actually have a huge challenge in the Amazon. We are calling it the Amazon window. So the Amazon forest is huge. So you can have an idea. It covers 61% of Brazilian territory. That would correspond to 52% of Canadian territory. So it is huge. And we found out that we have 10,000 riverside communities there. And most of them never heard the gospel before. So we're talking about 500,000 people that never heard about Jesus. And that's just river people, just riverside communities. If you count the tribes, which are a different people group, it's even more than that. So a huge challenge there. And our organization started working in the Purus River, as you can see this one right here. The Purus River used to be the least reached river, so that's why we started working there. We sent our first missionaries there 3 years ago. There are around 1,200 riverside communities without the gospel there. And it's a huge river. It's the fourth longest river in the Amazon. It's one of the tributaries of the Amazon River. And it has about almost 3,000 kilometers of extension. So I'm talking and talking about river people, but I'll let Diogo and explain to you guys who are they. Thank you.
All right, guys, thank you for having us. And I know that's a lot of information, eh? It's a lot of information this morning. So I have a question for you, first of all. Is my tie straight enough? To be honest, it's been a while since I don't wear them. And we don't wear them very often in the Amazon. So I hope it's good enough for you guys, because I did my best. But we saw, well, it's such a massive jungle. Those are such long rivers. The Purus River, where we're working, is so long. But sometimes we forget that we're working to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And that's why I want to introduce you to what I like to call the lost people of the Amazon. And right now, you know what? I'm going to read our mind. Yeah, I have that power. Look at that. You're probably thinking on half-naked people around a campfire, aren't you? Probably. You're probably thinking about tribes, about indigenous people. But guess what? The lost people of the Amazon are not those people that haven't been found yet. They're actually people that have been abandoned in the jungle, that have been forgotten in the jungle. When we speak about the river people, the lost people of the Amazon, we are not speaking about tribes. We are speaking about these people over there, these people that they went to the Amazon about 100 years ago when the Brazilian government started to extract all sorts of resources from the Amazon jungle, including rubber, which curiously, you extract rubber just like you extract maple syrup. Different trees, Don't try rubber in your pancakes. It will not go well. But it's curious, isn't it? So Brazil sent a lot of people into the jungle to extract rubber. So Brazilian economy went up. But after all this extraction was done, these people were left behind. They were left in the jungle. They have to learn how to survive. So basically, they are displaced people that went to the jungle to work and were left there. They were forgotten there. So they had to start their own communities. Sometimes some of them had to start their new families because they couldn't go back to their families. They had no resources. They had no way. So they started their riverside communities, and they were so isolated from the world, so isolated for even the tribes of the Amazon, that they developed their own culture, which is based on an oral and shame culture. It's oral because most of the adults there don't know how to read. Right now the kids are starting to learn, but the adults don't know how to read, so they start to develop a culture where you share knowledge through stories, through songs, and they also developed a shame culture because they were excluded. They didn't fit in other towns. They didn't fit in the tribal, in the tribes around them. They became something different, something else. They became the river people. And they have to live for fishing and from what they can get in the jungle. Sometimes they can plant, but just for a while. But look what happens. The Amazon is an interesting place. And although it's very much warm and much hotter than Canada, I get to know that Canada only has two seasons. And that's the same in Brazil. Although we don't have winter, neither construction season. That's what I heard about here, eh? We have the dry season and the rainy season over there. So when it's dry, when it's not raining, the river goes down and their houses get so far away from the river that sometimes they have to walk miles to get to the water. And sometimes they have to go back a mile with a bucket of water on their shoulders because that's their only source of water. But when it starts raining, the river goes up to 15 meters and flood their communities. And their houses become little islands. And the only way to get out is by boat. All they can do is to fish. And if they can't find fish in that season, they just starve. That's a tough life over there. But I think the worst thing about this reality is the fact that being excluded, being so far away from other people, they forgot about Christ. Most of the new generation never heard about Jesus. And that's awful. We can't let that happen. And God has awakened the Brazilian church to reach these people. And that's why in the past few years, IMAF started a huge outreach to these people. And right now, today I'm glad to share with you guys that today we have 5 missionary bases on the Purus River alone. We have 38 full-time missionaries throughout this river trying to reach all these communities. And we have right now 8 boats. 4 of them are fast boats. 3 of them are family boats, such as this one, where the missionaries can spend a few weeks on the river if they need. And we also have a team boat, which is a massive boat. I'm going to show it to you later on. But the most impressive thing is that God is in a hurry to reach these people. We got it all in only 3 years. That's amazing. That's so quick. God wants us to reach these people, and He's pushing us through. He's leading the way for us, and we're going through. And right now, in the Amazon, in this exact moment, our missionaries are working hard to share the hope in Jesus Christ to all these river people, to all these riverside communities. And guess what? People are being saved. By the grace of God, for the glory of our Lord, people are being saved. People are finding hope finally. They are finally overcoming their shame in the name of Jesus Christ. That's just wonderful. That's just amazing. And that's how Juliana and I came to get in touch with these people. Right now, these missionaries are working hard, and we want to help them. We want to help our new brothers and sisters among the riverside communities. We want to help the newborn churches in the Amazon. That's why we came up with this project we are calling On the Waters. So just like Jesus walked on the waters to reach his disciples, to teach them to calm down, to bring peace to their hearts, we want to go through on the waters of the Amazon rivers to reach these people and share the good news of the gospel. And our plan is the following. We want to teach these new church leaders that are being born right now in the Amazon. We want to teach them, help them to learn better the Bible, to be able to lead their own communities. Let them be able to guide their own people, to teach the Bible, to read the Bible in their own way, in their own culture, guided by the Holy Spirit. That's our goal. We want to help them to mature faster because our Lord is coming. And I tell you that, our Lord Jesus Christ is about to come. And we're going to fasten up our mission. We got to fasten up our goals. That's why I want to quicken up this process by teaching them, so maybe they can lead their church better, they can mature better, they can even become missionaries later on. And you know what? Since we are going to communities, community by community, teaching the church leaders, why not caring for them as well? Why not caring for our missionaries on the field as well? So as we go on the waters to teach these people, we also want to go on the waters, offering missionary care for our own missionaries, for the new church leaders, because you guys saw it. It's such a harsh environment. It's such a tough life. People get burned out there quickly. Our missionaries suffer there, and we want to help them. That's why I came to Canada, to get more preparing. And, well, I'm glad to share with you guys. We graduated, and we are ready to go through it. Look how big this river is. These are our 5 bases, and right now, we are establishing our 6th one. So when we get to the Amazon, there will be 6 bases, and we'll get a boat. We'll go from base to base, trying to teach the new church leaders in these new churches, as well caring for our missionaries. And when we were invited to do this work, we thought, wow, you know what? That's a massive challenge. I wonder if we're ready for it. So God answered us. He said, yeah, you're not. So I'm going to bring you to a place where you can get better prepared. That's why he led us all the way to Manitoba. And, well, I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's quite different from the Amazon, eh? So it was quite interesting to see God leading us, but he led us to the right place. We went to Providence Seminary, and there I did my course in education, my master's in education, and I got in touch with so many good resources to help teaching the Bible for an oral culture. Tools such as how to deal with Bible narratives, how to deal with oral patterns in the New Testament, of which we're going to look into some of the oral patterns later on. And my main challenge as I go back to the Amazon is to put all of it in practice. I have to adapt all the Bible teaching. All the Bible teaching we have in abundance here in Canada. We got to show them in their own way, in their own culture, the way they can learn. Even though they speak Portuguese, it's such a different culture. Juliana also had the opportunity to get better in her care for people. And she did an awesome counseling program over there. And today, she could even be a therapist here in Canada. But we want to serve the river people and our missionaries on the rivers with the best we can. So we're going back there to offer some missionary care. But we're also aware that healthcare is not a thing on the Amazon. Actually, in the area we're going to work, we found out that this area is among one of the highest suicide rates in all the country of Brazil. That's just crazy. You would never imagine it, right? Suicide sounds such like an urban problem. But it is there in the Amazon. It's a healthcare issue that God is helping us to also care for these people. Those are our challenges as we go there. Those are our challenges that we have to face to bless our new brothers and sisters among the Riverside communities, as well for caring for our missionary friends and our co-workers on the rivers of the Amazon. So, we got us. By the grace of God, we got such a good training here in Canada, and we bring you guys with us as we bring this training down there in Brazil. And we also have a boat, and look how big this boat is. This is our team boat. Isn't it amazing? Look at that. It's a 2-story boat, and this was actually the first boat we got in the Amazon 3 years ago. And actually, a German organization that is not Christian gave it to us. Isn't it amazing? All we had to do was to refurbish it. And when the work was done, we looked at this boat, and it was just perfect for the On the Waters project. It was just perfect. The first floor, it has the engine right at the middle of the room, and people made a woodwork around it, and it became such a perfect desk for studies, for classes, and we could use the first floor as a classroom for about 15 people. That's just amazing. Can you imagine? It's like a school floating on the rivers of the Amazon. That's how our God is. He makes things perfect for the needs of the people He wants to reach. On the second floor, we have some rooms over there that could work as counseling rooms, for counseling sessions, for discipleship, for talks, for people who need some more privacy, or maybe even want to share something, want to open their hearts. This is just the perfect tool that God gave in our hands. And, well, that's such a marvelous boat. But I got to say, I'm kind of afraid of it because I'm going to be downstairs. My wife's going to be upstairs working. I wonder if we're going to meet in the middle sometime, right? I hope so, especially because I'm not a very good cooker. So, well, I might starve as well. But that's just perfect. Look at how it looks inside. That's the first floor. As you can see, this is the desk I told you. Under here is the engine of the boat. And this is a missionary meeting among our missionaries in the jungle right now. We are sharing some strategies, sharing what God has been doing in our lives, and getting prepared. And that's how we sleep in this boat, in hammocks. You have some hooks on the side. We just put some hammocks there. You gotta know how to sleep on it, otherwise you roll and you fall. But people say there's some techniques. I hope to learn them before I fall. Let's see, my wife is more used to it. She grew up in the jungle as well. But I'm a city boy. Let's see if I can survive, eh? So that's where we are going. That's what we want to do. And we have the resources to go there and to teach these people and to reach them. God gave all the tools we need. And we want that you guys come with us, supporting us, participating with us in this process. And just so you know, how powerful is the gospel of Christ in the life of these people? I want to share a story with you guys. I want you to meet Janaína. Janaína is that lady over there. I'm going to show you. This is Janaína over here. And this is her lovely family, her husband and her daughter. And they live in the Amazon. And last year, Juliana and I went for a visit in the Purus River. And we visited their community. And their community, if we translate the name of the community to English, it would be called Good Future. They live in the community called Good Future. But when you look at the community, the future doesn't look as promising as it sounds. And actually, Janaína's life is quite tough. Janaína's life is a bit different from the rest of her community, from the rest of the river people around her, because she actually came from a tribe nearby. She fell in love with this guy, and they married, and they have a kid. But the problem is, in the riverside community she lives, she's seen as something less, as someone less than the other people, just because she's an indigenous person. Her mother-in-law, when we met her, she came to us and kind of pulled us to the corner and told us, well, she's indigenous, you know, so don't expect too much from her. Oh my goodness, that's awful, isn't it? To be seen by our mother-in-laws as someone less just because you're from a different people, from a different culture. No wonder that Janaína was such a quiet person, such a timid person, while her kid was so outgoing, and it was kind of funny to see such a quiet person running around her crazy kid, trying to calm her down. But Janaína was kind of oppressed by the place she lived. And when we were there, I think God put in my wife's heart the will to talk to her and to spend some time with her. And my wife started playing with her crazy kid around. And soon enough, I saw Janaína getting closer. And they were talking and they were laughing quite soon. And I think for quite a long time, Janaína got to experience the love of Christ through my wife's care and attention and heart. It was so interesting because we went to this community during the day, and later on in the evening, we had a service in the same community. And after the service, after the missionary shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, Janaína came to us and said she wanted to meet Christ. She wanted to give her life to Jesus Christ. She wanted the salvation we were speaking so much about. And that's just awesome. It was such a such a joyful moment for us. But the most impressive thing after that we heard is that the missionary came to us and he told, you know what? That was the first time we heard Janaína's voice. She had never talked to us before. And the first time we heard her voice was to say that she wanted to meet Jesus, that she wanted to commit her life to Jesus Christ. That's the sort of thing that the Word of God, that the love of Jesus Christ does among the river people. People are being saved. Janaína's story actually reminds me the verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And I guess if you guys are aware of the whole sermon, you will notice a theme. My brother over there, he shared a bit of Ephesians earlier, and I think the Holy Spirit is working in this church already. Look at what this text tells us. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building, being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. That's what the gospel did to Janaína. After she was reached by Jesus Christ, she was no longer a stranger. She was a stranger in their own house. She was a stranger among their own family. But after Jesus Christ came into her life, she's no longer a stranger. And that's the same for you and me. It's so amazing to read in this text, in these few verses, that because of Jesus Christ, we are no longer strangers. We are citizens of a larger kingdom, something much larger than us, the kingdom of heavens, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice something. The text says not only that we are citizens of the household of God, we are fellow citizens. We are citizens together. We share the same right. We share the same status. We share the same glory of Jesus Christ. That's how the gospel is. The gospel brings us together. Jesus Christ brings us together and transform our lives. And not only we are no longer strangers, but now we have a family. We are part of God's household. That's amazing. If you look into closer to this text, it's just amazing to notice. Once we had no place to be. We weren't part of any place, anywhere. We didn't belong anywhere. That was Janaína's case. But now she has a family in Christ. She has a family full of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we look into this idea of citizenship, sometimes we just read it and move on. But here in Canada, I think you guys are more aware of the importance of a citizenship, much more than me. Even though if you are Canadian or if you're an immigrant, I bet you know someone who is running around trying to get their PR, right? That's just a narrative in Canada. Everybody knows someone who is trying to get their PR. They want to become residents in Canada because that's important. That gives you a right. That brings you closer to people. That makes you part of a place. It gives you some rights. And it was the same for Paul. So look at that. If you go back a few verses on verse 12 on the same chapter, we read Paul telling this to these people. At that time, you were without the Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And later on, the thing changed. The picture changed. And now these people are no longer foreigners because they met Christ. Christ changed their lives, the way they live, gave them a community. And it's so curious to notice that, first of all, Paul was speaking about citizenship related to Israel. And now he's speaking about a citizenship related to the saints, to all the believers in Jesus Christ, in the world and in history. So we are no longer foreigners, But the most interesting thing in this verse, and that's where we can see some auto patterns, which is so interesting to work with an oral culture, such as the river people, is how Paul introduces this word, strangers. It seems like he's just trying to change a bit his speech, but by adding this word, he actually made a sequence of words that in Greek come from the same word, for the same Greek word that means house and also means family. So I did a bit of a translation here for you guys, trying to show you how it looks like, how these few verses looks like. And look what Paul did. He started saying that you are no longer foreigners and homeless. Look at that. You didn't have a home before. But now you are fellow citizens with the saints and you are part of God's household. Now you have a house. Now you have a home. And not only you live in a building, but you became this own building. You are being built in God's house. So you are built on, and this verse has the same Greek word as its base. You are being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as their cornerstone. The whole building, the whole house, the whole home of Jesus Christ, of our God and Savior, is being put together by himself, by our Jesus. And it's growing into a holy temple, a holy sanctuary. And you are being built together. We are becoming a house together. We are not only homeless, we are not homeless anymore. Now, we are God's home. That's wonderful. It changes life. We are something different. We became something else by the grace of Jesus Christ. And as Paul is sharing this transforming truth to that people, he's making an effort to integrate that people. He was making an effort. He came from a Jewish point of view into a Greek point of view. He's trying to do what we are trying to do in the Amazon. We are trying to present the truth of God's word in this people culture so they can make sense of the grace of Jesus Christ. And it brings me this application. It is our responsibility to help our fellow citizens to be no longer strangers. It is our job as fellow Christians, as fellow citizens, to look at our side and work hard so people get to understand the word of God, so people get to know the truth of God, so people can feel part of the church of Christ. That's our job as well. That's our responsibility, both here in Canada as well on the rivers of the Amazon. And it's just awesome because Paul speaks about a temple and that we're growing into a temple and that Christ is our cornerstone. And sometimes this cornerstone is translated in three different ways. We could translate it as a cornerstone, as we see in 1 Peter, which would be this stone by the corner, therefore a cornerstone, which helps guiding all the next blocks that will be used to build a house. But it could also be translated as a capstone, the stone that comes up those ancient Greek temples that kind of crowns the building. And if the building is crooked, the capstone doesn't fit. That's how Jesus Christ works in us as well. But it could also be translated as keystone, which is this stone over here when you build an ark. And this is the most important stone because its shape shapes the rest of the ark. And it will show you which rocks you should put on it. So you don't have to glue it. You don't have to put any sort of cement in it. Just on the farm, because of the keystone, all the other rocks just fit. But independently on the way we translate this idea, independently the way we think about God's temple, the truth is, without Jesus Christ, it doesn't work. Without Jesus Christ as our foundation, as the place where we start up, it is in Jesus Christ that we are being built on a temple for God. Without Jesus Christ, the truth is, we are all strangers. Without Jesus Christ, we are all strangers. We are all lost. We are all lost people in Canada, in the Amazon. But when our foundations are in Jesus Christ, we are found. We become fellow citizens. We are no longer strangers. That's what God wants us to do in the Amazon. And I'm pretty sure that's what God wants you guys to do here in Canada as well. We share the same mission, perhaps in different places, in different contexts. Our fight, our mission is down there in the Amazon, but yours is here in American Missionary Church. And I know that God will guide you guys through that in the same way he's guiding us. And I'd like to finish this small presentation and this small piece of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit put in my heart to share with you guys with a prayer. And as I pray, perhaps Tim could come over. So why don't you close your eyes and pray with me? I'd like to pray for you guys. Our dear God and our dear Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for the fellowship we have in your name. We thank you because one day you reached us with your gospel, you reached us with your good news, and now we are no longer strangers. We thank you that you bring us together and you build us together into a holy temple that praises your name, that glorifies your name. So thank you, Lord, because you reached us. Thank you because you are working in this fellowship here in Markham. Thank you because you are working in the rivers of the Amazon. Thank you because you're working through MF. And thank you because you are bringing salvation to the river people of the Amazon. We ask you the same bless we need in the Amazon here to this church. Bless this church and help them grow up to become a holy temple, a beautiful house that praises your name all day, all time. In Jesus' name, we praise your name. And we thank you for our glory and grace. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Diego, Juliana. I told you it was going to be good. You heard the message and you've met the messengers. And any moments like this is then now what? Okay, it's lunchtime, right? Okay, what else? Beyond lunch, what else? I want to invite you to consider something as a church. And I know from what you've shared already, you're in a transition. You're in a moment of defining next in the future. You've had a certain way that's gone this way, now it's this way. This is an opportunity for us as a church here to partner with a young couple, to come alongside a couple. One of the things that excites me so much is a couple of things. One, they're a couple. Two, is they're young. I love seeing young missionaries. I've been a part of around missions my whole life, but they're a young missionary couple. And to be able to bless and be a part of the journey for the long haul as they go, they're going to give up much. You saw the conditions they have. It's going to be very different. They've used to this life here in Brazil and in Canada, and they're giving up a lot. And I want us to come alongside and to bless and to consider how we could partner, how we could encourage a young couple like this. And how do you do that? You pray. We ask our churches and those who come in contact with our partners to pray. We know that God hears our prayer. God is able, as we've been reminded today. Amen? He is able here and around the world. And so we want to pray. We want to give. We want to be a part of this ministry financially, as we said before. I don't know why, but God has blessed us with resource here in Canada. Many parts of the world do not enjoy 1% of the resource that we have. So we want to do that. We want to advocate. We want to host events. You can talk to me about other ways to get involved. We'd love to take a team down here. Imagine bringing a team from Canada down to the Amazon to bless and encourage the missionaries, to meet the people. It'd be a fantastic way. Yeah, and we got a built-in translator right here. That works out perfect. So these are ways we can get involved. As you consider on your way out today, I want you to please, I know when you see tables in your lobby, you kind of go by the guy at the table like this. But today, you have some guests. You can do that to me because you've maybe seen me here before. But you have guests here from Brazil. Come greet them at the table. Pick up one of their prayer cards. I'd like everyone here to please take a prayer card at the table on the way out. Remember this couple that came and blessed you this morning. And pray for them. I'm not going to say every day as the Lord leads. Put it in your Bible, your fridge. Not in your fridge, usually on your fridge, right? So you see it more often. But pick up a prayer card. Along with that is a project sheet, which is the slide up here. This project sheet is ways that we can financially be a part of this ministry. There's some initial startup This is a young couple moving into this area. This is not where they're from. So there's a transition to set up place and set up their lives and their home there. And that's a one opportunity. These are one-time gifts. There's also times to just be a part of startup for the ministry costs that they have. These are very minimal costs. You know this from seeing missions. These are very small, considered some of the needs that we have as Canadians. Partnering with nationals, the cost is often less, and yet impact goes very, very far. The Amazon trip, going up the river, it's costly, the gas and the gasoline to do that. We'd invite you. Maybe one of those areas touches your heart. Maybe as a church, maybe as an individual, but we encourage you to come and see us at the table afterwards. I want to thank you for allowing us to be here, and thank you for being a missions church, not just in name, but in deed. And it's just been a real godsend for when Pastor Arthur and I met earlier, and I was like, oh, you're from Brazil. And I was like, we have this couple coming, and I think God had ordained and planned for this meeting today as we shared with the word. So thank you for your attentiveness and your partnership, Pastor.